Welcome to a weekly review of North Dakota's legislative news. Now, here's your host, Dave Thompson, with North Dakota Legislative Review.
And welcome to North Dakota Legislative Review. I'm Dave Thompson. Thanks for joining us. We have now reached crossover. If you think of a hockey game, we have just finished the first period. The next part of the session will be the second period, and the conference committee becomes third period. Now, one of the big issues we're going to be following is ethics, because the House and Senate have passed their own ethics bills to deal with, which is now Article 14 of the North Dakota Constitution. It will be considered in the other House, and what legislative leaders are telling us, they're going to try to take the best of both worlds and put them together. Also, some of Governor Berg's initiatives did not make it through in the first half, but they could be revived. We're talking about the Theodore Roosevelt Library and Museum, and also the shift in prisons, you know, and possibly closing the facility at New England. So those are interesting things we're going to be following in the second half. Lawmakers have gone through nearly 1,000 bills this session. Our political correspondent, Chad Mira, gives us an update on what's passed and what hasn't passed so far.
State employees everywhere are still waiting to hear what kind of pay raise they can expect this year. One proposal that failed, a $300 raise each month for the first year and a 1% raise the second year. Talks are still taking place.
We're pleased to see that there's conversations happening right now. You know, the House has got a different number than the Senate, but after the March forecast, we'll certainly be pushing harder to make sure that we get that 3-3 across.
One thing we do know, the state is closer to adding more employees soon. SB 2124, the redesign of social services, passed the Senate with some amendments. For starters, counties will have more time to join forces and form zones across the state.
It was a lot of a collaborative effort between the Department of Human Services, the Senate Human Services, and also with counties and county directors, so we had great representation there.
Then there's HB 1066, Operation Prairie Dog, the bill that looks to use taxes from the oil and gas industry to fund infrastructure needs across the state. It passed the House, but we're expecting more debate in the Senate.
I know there are people that will say, well, I don't know. I think it's going to cause an increase in property taxes. It won't. It's what it's going to do is take care of special assessments and things of that nature.
There were also steps to improve school safety. The House passed a bill to allow a trained school staff member to conceal carry on campus. The Senate passed a bill requiring students to learn more about mental health and suicide.
This year, it seems to be a little bit more of a concern for many more people than it has been in the past. I think a lot of the representatives are starting to recognize that we have to provide openness, more opportunities, and not make so many mandates for the local schools.
Of course, the ones that have passed so far will still be tested once they cross over.
And we are joined now by the chairman of the Senate Finance and Taxation Committee, Senator Dwight Cook of Mandan. Senator, thank you.
Thank you, Dave. It's a joy to be with all of you.
Since we talked about the Prairie Dog bill in that package, what do you think its prospects are in the Senate?
Well, I think the prospects are very good in the Senate. I don't hear a lot of opposition to it. There's some concern out there about the amount of dollars that go to small cities, but overall, I think it's going to change, maybe not even with any changes to it.
And if it doesn't change, then it could be signed and sent to the governor.
It could be signed and sent to the governor very soon.
What are you hearing from the governor's office in terms of how he looks at the Prairie Dog bill?
Well, I expect him to sign it. I don't know. I know he's got some concerns, but we'll leave the governor's opinion up to the governor.
All right. You know, one of the more important bills that is coming through this session is that bill to change how taxation is split between the tribes and the state up at three affiliated. And you've been a part of that.
That's been an ongoing work since we adjourned last session. There's been the Tribal Tax Committee has been formed. We had a lot of discussions in there. There was a lot to learn, I think, from both parties on how we work together. They got a different type of government than we have. They're not used to having to talk with legislators. They like to talk to the governor. And so that has helped. But we finally come to some understanding. I think we're very close to having the compact signed by the tribe and the governor. That'll mirror the language that we have in the bill, and I look forward to passing it on to the House.
So why was it so important to get that bill accomplished?
If I look at the oil industry working on the three affiliated tribes up there and compare it to a high-powered muscle car, we had an 8-cylinder car running on 4 cylinders. We had to improve that, and so it's like giving it a tune-up. There's a lot of things that was drawing the industry off of the tribal land, and that's where the biggest wells are. There's wells up there that'll produce 10,000 barrels per day. And so we got to get tapped into that.
Will this help the oil industry stay in North Dakota? I mean, with all the competing for the Permian Basin and some other shale plays now, we've got the Bakken, which is a little bit more expensive to drill because of what you have to do. Will it keep and will it pique oil industry interest in that area?
It's not going to hurt it. It's going to continue to improve it. I think the biggest thing that this offers, though, is the midstream partners out there getting gas plants put in, pipelines put in. That's really going to help bring down the flaring on the tribe.
So one of the things that I think was tried to offer was an amendment to take off that top trigger. That top trigger, if it goes to $90, then you go back to an 11.5% tax. Where is that now? I mean, it was taken off the bill. There's an attempt on the floor to put it on, but where is that now?
That's off the bill. We'll keep the trigger on there, the high trigger. When you negotiate with another party, what's a good idea one day becomes a bad idea the next day, and that's what happened there.
Okay, this also, and I don't mean to keep on this subject, but it's interesting because there are other agreements that are pending in terms of tobacco taxes, liquor taxes, and some other things.
Tribes, they're used to a lifestyle where they don't pay taxes. They don't have to pay. The only way they can pay taxes is if the tribe imposes it on them. We as a state cannot. We certainly should remove any barrier from the tribe imposing a tax on the citizens for sales tax, alcohol tax, if for no other reason to avoid double taxation.
One of the bills that I think your committee is going to take a look at is Senator Hedlund or Representative Hedlund's bill, which would basically take part of the legacy fund earnings and start reducing the income tax, eventually getting to almost zero, if not zero. Is this something that you're seriously looking at?
The Senate has never really had much of an appetite for elimination of income tax. We're in the final session now or the crossover. Everybody's got an idea of what to do with the legacy fund earnings. We'll start funding our priorities. Whether this makes it to the end, I wouldn't say.
Okay. In terms of the legacy fund, there's been a lot of at least back channel talk that legislators should more redefine or more clearly define what the legacy fund is going to be used for. Is this something you're looking at?
I think what we got to do is do a better job of defining what the earnings might be used for. And yes, we're talking about that right now, and we will finish, we'll work on that through this last half.
And of course, the governor wants to take some of the earnings for Theodore Roosevelt Library and Museum at Medora, mm-hmm. and that's $50 million. And that didn't fare too well in the House. Is there more appetite in the Senate, do you think?
I don't think there's any more. I don't think there's any less. It's about the same as the House.
But what about the potential for the March revenue forecast? Could that change some minds?
That could change some minds. I don't know whether it changes any minds on how we spend legacy fund money, though.
And the prairie dog bill, of course.
Prairie dog bill is big, and that one's going to go a long ways.
You know, is Mandan in there as far as a hub city?
Mandan's in the Prairie Dog Bill. Mandan mm-hmm. will get money from the Prairie Dog Bill. I believe it's $8 million, somewhere around there.
So we're talking some pretty good money for cities from that Prairie Dog Bill.
Yes, we are. And, back to the legacy fund, the earnings that we have on that, until we find a solid way of spending these earnings every session, there's always going to be everybody grabbing at it. There are 141 legislators. There was literally 141 ideas, I think, out there.
I know, and you've got a $6 billion, perhaps, by the time the forecast comes in, you might have $6 billion in that fund earning interest, and the interest is pretty substantial, but you've got that $6 billion package right there, and, that's a tempting target for some people.
That's a tempting target, and as easy as it has become for out-of-state people to drive an initiated petition in this state, I can see it getting robbed real quick.
You think there might be the chance that somebody will come up with something?
I think there's always a chance that somebody's going to have an idea to spend the principal and get an initiated petition out there and try to get that done.
In terms of that, there was the measure, of course, to tighten up some of the constitutional things. For example, Senator Hoag's constitutional resolution, which we'll vote on, in terms of if one of these things is passed, it goes to the legislature. If the legislature says no, then it goes back to the people for another vote. As you're not necessarily in the finance and tax going to look at a bill like that, but if you had your druthers, how would you vote?
I voted for it. And it's just a measure that would go to the people for them to vote on. We're not making a decision. We're saying to the people, do you want to make this decision?
And so do you think it's too easy to put initiative measures on the bill?
Yes, I do. I think it's too easy to change the Constitution. If you look at the United States Constitution, how difficult it is to change that. We have, 25 amendments? And that's it. And it's just way too easy to change the North Dakota Constitution.
And of course, another measure that's coming that did pass at about 500 words on a constitutional measure.
Printed on the ballot.
Printed on the ballot, which kind of makes the ballot a lot longer, perhaps, but nobody's going to read it, exactly. But again, there's some concern is that people don't have necessarily the time to really dig into some of these measures and what they would actually do and how they're going to look on the ballot.
We live in an entirely different world than I grew up in, that you grew up in. It's all social media. It's 10-second sound bites that people make decisions on, and it's kind of scary.
One of the things that might be coming, and we'll go back to the legacy fund and things like that. At one point, there was a plan, perhaps, to use the legacy fund to be a hedge against bonding. But there is a bonding bill out there that we haven't seen for a while. We haven't had to do any bonding in North Dakota for a while, but we've got these bonding for these bills on college campuses, and that's a $150 million bonding bill, I think.
I think you're right, it's a $150 million bonding bill. That has passed the Senate already, that's going over to the House. We have another $100 million bonding bill, $400 for the Prairie Dog 3, that's more infrastructure. But we have a big need in this state for infrastructure, for roads and bridges. And the concept is you build them all now, you can build them cheaper than if you wait till you have the cash.
Okay, you just mentioned Prairie Dog 3. Is there another proposal coming?
It's passed the Senate already. This is where we take $55 million of legacy earnings and leverage that to bond $450 million for cities, schools, counties, political subs for infrastructure.
Okay, so there's some things going on out there, but it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, there seems to be a realization that, you know, a lot of money was put into the oil patch, and rightfully so because of all the trucks and all the infrastructure that needed to be out there, but there's infrastructure needs across
the state, and we're taking care of the rest of the state with a lot of these bills today.
Is there any appetite now to raise the gas tax?
No, we killed it.
I know you did kill it, but of course things are never dead until you do it sine die, because you've got the OMB bill, which they hang ornaments on.
No, I think that with the money that we're putting into infrastructure and the fact that DOT themselves did not come and say we need this, pretty much killed an appetite for passing that. We gave it some serious consideration. We lowered it to 4 cents, I think, from 7 cent increase, but it still didn't pass.
At the same time, Minnesota is talking about a 20 cent increase, but they don't have something like a legacy fund.
No, they don't. And when you look at the gas tax to help fix roads, a lot of states are going to have a mileage tax, vehicle mileage tax, and I hate the thought of that, but you know that's the fairer way to do it.
Okay, I have to go back to something that you really shepherded the last few sessions, and that's this idea of collecting sales taxes from internet sellers. The first results are in $5 million. You know, that seems like a kind of a modest amount, but we're only talking about a couple months. What do you think?
Well, I think we got two quarters in so far of sales tax collection. Really only one quarter. We didn't mandate that they start collecting until October 1. So we really only got the Christmas quarter. But $4 or $5 million, I think, for the first two quarters, I think that's good. It's very exciting. I'm looking at somewhere around $30 million, $35 million a year by idiom.
And I know you got some pushback when you were shepherding this through, too. So.
Yeah, it came from my side of the aisle, too. But we got some pushback. We got some pushback in Congress. Of course, Congress never would fix it. It was their job to fix it. We finally went to the Supreme Court. And when the Supreme Court ruled on Thursday in favor of South Dakota, they said, Wayfair, you must start collecting and remitting South Dakota sales tax. We were the first state that actually had collection authority, and Wayfair was collecting North Dakota sales tax the following Monday.
And it looks like over 1,000 firms, I checked with the tax department not too long ago, over 1,000 firms are collecting sales taxes, so that's all going to add up.
Yep, it's going to add up, and they're going to be registering every day as we move forward. There's going to be more sellers signing up.
So how much is this going to affect our bottom line?
Like I said, somewhere $35, $40 million. It'll be a positive note.
And that's going to be, anything will help.
Anything will help.
As what happens when you get to crossover, it's actually in the red ink right now, but we know that the March forecast is coming up, and you know this happens all the time.
Yeah, we're about $800 million in the red, I think, right now. But now we start going forward and figuring out what our real priorities are. And there's going to be some tears shed when somebody sees something that they thought was really a good bill. It's going to have to die. But we'll get to the end. It's all about balance. It's the same game every session. So we'll get there.
What are you expecting from the March revenue forecast?
I don't know if I'm that optimistic. I'm looking forward to it not going down. Our last quarter figures that I just read was down, except for, I think, sales taxes. And so I hope we just, everything looks good, growth.
And the oil production is hanging in there pretty at 1.3, 1.4 million barrels a day.
Yeah,
so and that helps.
We got to get through the cold winter now, so we'll see a little decline, I suppose, but hopefully it'll come back.
Another thing that was accomplished last session was the idea of having the state take over county social services, which turned into what supporters said was permanent property tax relief. As we're going now, there's been some talk about redesign of social services. First off, did that really make a difference, do you think? Or is it too early to tell?
For property tax relief?
Yes.
Yes, it made a difference. We also, at the same time, eliminated the 12% buy-down. And so the two working together really determined whether a county got relief or did not get relief. But statewide, it did. And statewide, I think we're going to do a better job of delivering social services to more people more efficiently and for less money.
And do you like the zone concept?
I do like the zone concept. It's 19 zones instead of 53 counties. And that's just a step towards efficiency. Yet I believe every office that's out there today continues to work for delivering social services.
And at the same time, property taxes are being relieved.
They're being relieved permanently. Permanent tax buy-down, yeah.
One other thing that the Senate took a position on early on was this 2 and 3 concept. It was not only for raises, but how budgets are being handled. 2% the first year of the biennium, 3% the second year of the biennium. Is that something, do you think, is sustainable in the second half?
I expect it to, I would fully say it's sustainable. I don't see any changes in that. The decision's been made, and I'm fairly confident that'll be the final decision.
Is it something that you supported?
I did, and state employees are important. They're, I work firsthand with them, and they've gone for quite a while without a raise, and they deserve it.
And I think there was a change made that there's a minimum $80 for the first year, is that correct? I think
David,
that's in
David
the OMB.
You're catching me there.
Okay, I just saw it in the OMB bill.
Okay.
And of course, the OMB bill is about the last bill that's going to be voted on, so it's kind of interesting. We laugh about the OMB bill quite a bit.
Yeah, it's going to receive everything that's left to do.
Yeah. Where do you think the sticky wickets are?
Oh, my. The sticky wickets. Probably it's going to come down to dollars and cents. And gun bills, I don't know what the House is sending us over with gun bills, but you never know where the sticky wickets are going to come from. There's always a surprise over the hill.
That's right. But of course, you went through a very tough session in 17 where budgets were cut, and they had to be, gone through a couple of rounds of allotments, and now some of the money's being restored. But it's not gangbusters like it was in 13 and 15.
To be honest with you, when I started this session, I didn't know if we were broke or if we had all kinds of money. By what you were hearing out there and by when you listen to some senators and some legislators talk, you think we were broke. And when you listen to somebody else talk, you think we had all kinds of money. But it seems to be settling in. We're moving along just fine.
It is interesting, though, because a lot of different opinions about where the state is, but a lot of that, and I keep coming back to the March revenue forecast, I think it takes on an added importance this time, given what we went through 2 years ago.
Well, yes, it does, but I'll worry about the March forecast when we get it and see it, and until then we work with the forecast that we have. And
so what is your committee, what is your big issue then? Prairie Dog, of course, I suppose.
We've got 23 bills coming from House Finance and Tax that they passed over. 11 of them deal with income tax. I'm surprised at all the income tax bills, credits, deductions, elimination. So we're going to spend a lot of time on income tax. I don't know what else. Excuse me, my mouth is dry.
Yeah.
But it's a typical tax season, and we'll see what it.
I think one of the big things that's still pending somewhere is is tax deductions for like retired military. I believe that's still out there.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in a broad tax base and low rates. You start making eliminations here. It's funny, the governor came up with that concept of no income tax on retired pensions for military people. I know why. It's to get workers to come to our state, retired military people to move to the state of North Dakota, and we need them. But immediately there was a bill to eliminate tax on Social Security, and then of course there's a bill to eliminate eventually income tax, period. But it's always a Me Too world, so it's going to be a tough issue. We have that coming over, but I do believe in a broad base and low tax rates.
And since you talked about the broad base, that is one thing I heard. If you do reduce income taxes to near zero and all of a sudden the oil industry goes away, it is hard to raise taxes again.
It's hard to bring it back, yeah. It's people don't like to put a tax increase on.
They don't. And do you see anything else in terms of potential things that might delay the session a little bit? Or
you know what? I'm very optimistic that we get done in, I'll say, 65 days. There's nothing to keep us from doing that.
65 days?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we could get done in 65 days. We should. The first half was the smoothest session I've ever recalled. I've never seen anything go as well. And if we can continue that, there's no reason why we can't get done real early.
You know, it seemed to be in the Senate that was the case. The House, of course, had a lot more bills.
Yeah, they did.
But they did kill a lot of bills, so you won't have that much of a bigger workload this time. So.
And they take a lot of time on every bill, too. I'd like to think they did some good work, and we'll take care of the rest of the session.
In the few seconds we have left, I have to get your opinion. Annual sessions, yay or nay?
Nay.
Why?
I don't think the people want us back there every year. We go home for 2 years, we have certainty. You know exactly what the laws are for 2 years. I wish we could do that with Congress.
All right. Senator, thank you very much.
You bet.
Senator Dwight Cook from Mandan, the chairman of the Senate Finance and Taxation Committee. Now, one item sure to cause debate after crossover revolves around campaign ethics. After voters approved Measure 1 in November, lawmakers must pass ethics reform. The House and Senate passed two different versions. The Senate's version is considered the stricter of the two, and it has strong support from the people who initially drafted Measure Number 1.
Because the people passed it, it needs to be really strong, heavy penalties. And on the other hand, we're talking about ethics, we're not talking about crime. So I think the House version is a little softer than the Senate version. I voted for the Senate version, and I will continue to support. We are required by the Constitution to pass legislation, so we're required to pass one of the bills. But part of the concern is reporting every contribution. So we have one amendment was offered that any national organization report every contributor that contributed to their organization over $200. Well, those national organizations that are targeted in that do not involve themselves in state legislative races, statewide races. They're more involved in congressional races.
And our political correspondent, Chad Mira, joins us. You know, we've got a week ahead, but it's going to be a truncated week. They get back on Wednesday. So
yeah, hard to preview the week ahead when, we got a few days off here, but still a lot to get done in the second half of the session. This is when things are really going to start picking up.
Do you see the ethics bill is going to be one of those bills that's going to maybe go through some gyrations yet before we get done?
I would assume so. I would have to think so. Both the House and Senate have their own versions of the bill. The House was put together by mainly Republican leadership. The Senate version was put together by mainly Democrats. But it passed unanimously in the Senate, so we should be clear about that. There are some differences. The Senate seems to be a bit stricter, their version, and the people who behind Measure 1 initially, they don't seem too pleased with the House version of this bill, so I think some work still needs to be done before we can say for sure what's going to happen with that.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but leadership is talking about maybe taking the best of both and trying to meld them together when they get to the conference committees, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd say that's very possible. Still a lot of people want to weigh in. We often see this after crossover, right? Amendments can still come in. Things can still be ironed out. It's not necessarily going to be the House version or the Senate version.
I know those are the big, low-hanging fruit issues that are really big out there. What are you looking at?
Well, you know, something a lot of people are always watching are the pay raises for state employees. We've started with a proposal that's failed. It was $300 a month the first year, and then I believe it was 2 or 3%, or an average of 1% the second year. That failed. That doesn't mean people aren't going to get their pay raises, but there still needs to be some negotiation on that front. We've heard 2% each year. We've heard 3% each year. So where that's going to fall, we're not sure. And another thing that's interesting, state employees aren't the only ones looking at a raise. The House passed a bill this past week that would give lawmakers a slight raise as well while they're in session. So that's something we'll have to see if it gains traction in the Senate.
In briefly, one of the other things that we're watching here, of course, the Prairie Dog Bill, it did get through the House. I'm hearing rumors that it might be fast-tracked in the Senate.
It got through the House. There's a lot of people spoke up during debate on the floor, but it had a lot of support, a pretty strong support. The vote highly in favor of Operation Prairie Dog. And just talking to Senator Wardner earlier this week, and he thinks there will be some concern about what kind of impact it could have on property taxes. But I think you're right. I think it appears to have a lot of support in the Senate as well.
Well, a lot to get done. We are, of course, in the first period of a three-period hockey game. So we'll see what happens in the second period. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Thompson, and this is North Dakota Legislative Review.